confess our sin each week because it reminds us of our need for Christ and the great mercy of God in Christ. I talked last week a little bit about how the world has a view of man which is different than the biblical view, a view that man is basically good. Many of us in the church tend to slip into society's view as well, thinking because we go to church and we read the Bible because of those things, we're pretty good, and God is going to take care of us for that reason. So the world thinks that if there is any heaven, all it takes for a loving God to let you in is that you're pretty good. But the word of truth says something entirely different. As we know in Romans, as I read last week, we're sinners. There is none righteous. God is a holy and righteous God who cannot tolerate sin. Our sin demands payment and punishment. We must cling to the propitiating work of Jesus to escape what we deserve from God. Consider this. We have an internal witness to all our sin. The human brain is more powerful than the most powerful and advanced computer system in the world. Every experience we have, every thought we think, every word we speak is recorded in our brain. On Judgment Day, God only needs to play back the witness of our own brains to show that we are in standing conviction. As we sit there and hear and see the brain replay everything we ever have done, said, and thought, can you imagine after that there would be anything left for us to say? There'd be no use in arguing for our goodness? Let me ask you this. Can you imagine what anyone else would think if they witnessed my playback, if they witnessed your playback? We would look as a despicable thing. The thing is, God knows it all the time. He doesn't have to play back our brain to know what we're doing, what we're thinking, what our motives are, the petty things that we do, the anger that we have, the failure to love our wives as we ought, to respect our husbands as we ought, to obey our parents as we ought. The anger that is the root sin, according to Christ, of murder. The lust that's the root sin of adultery. It's all there. So confession is good for the soul because it keeps us from getting too big of an idea of ourselves or too small of an idea of God. Let's just take a minute to compose our minds silently, understanding that we are sinners in need of Christ before we pray. Merciful God, you have loved us with a love beyond understanding, and that when we were sinners, you sent Jesus to redeem us from our sin. Yet we have strayed from your way. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, in what we have done and what we have left undone. As we remember the merciful gift of your salvific grace in Jesus, we praise you and give you thanks. Grant us, we pray, the grace to die daily to sin and to rise daily to a new life in Christ, who lives and reigns with you, and in whose redeeming name we pray. Amen. In our confession of faith today, we'll continue in the Westminster Catechism of Faith, or Confession of Faith, short of Catechism. The last time we talked about the benefit that we get in justification, adoption, and sanctification, what those things were. And now we're going to talk about the benefits that those things produce in us being called by God. We'll be doing numbers 36, 37, and 38. Again, I'll read the question, and then you join me in reading the answer, if you would. And a couple of these, I have the Modern English Version, which gives a little bit different perspective, which also helps us to understand better what the confession is saying. Question 36. What are the benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification? The benefits which in this life do accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification are assurance of God's love, peace of conscience, joy in the Holy Ghost, increase of grace, and perseverance therein to the end. what benefits do believers receive from Christ at death? The souls of believers are at their death made perfect in holiness and do immediately pass into glory, and their bodies, being still united to Christ, do rest in their grave till the resurrection. Modern English Version puts it this way. What benefits do believers receive from Christ when they die? When believers die, their souls are made perfectly holy and immediately pass into glory. Their bodies, which are still united to Christ, rest in the grave until resurrection. Then the last question we'll address today. What benefits do believers receive from Christ in the resurrection? At the resurrection, believers, being raised up in glory, shall be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment, and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. And the Modern English Version says this: at the resurrection, believers raised in glory will be publicly recognized and declared not guilty on the day of judgment, and will be made completely happy in the full enjoyment of God forever. Next week, we'll take up man's duties in the light of these benefits.